This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Now a hair growth product with natural ingredients and fast results. Reveal from GCNLife.com.
President Trump, this week you called Dr. Anthony Fauci, the nation's best-known infectious disease expert, quote, a disaster. You described him and other medical experts as, quote, idiots. If you're not listening to them, who are you listening to?
I'm listening to all of them, including Anthony. I get along very well with Anthony, but he did say don't wear masks. He did say, as you know, this is not going to be a problem. I think he's a Democrat, but that's okay. He said, this is not going to be a problem. We are not going to have a problem at all. When Joe says that I said, Anthony Fauci said, and others, and many others, and I'm not knocking him a lot. Nobody knew. Look, nobody knew what this thing was. Nobody knew where it was coming from, what it was. We've learned a lot. But Anthony said, don't wear masks. Now he wants to wear masks. Anthony also said, if you look back, exact words. Here's his exact words. This is no problem. This is going to go away soon. So he's allowed to make mistakes. He happens to be a good person.
All right, so that's how part of the debate went. Hey, everybody, here we are once again, and it is real. This is the end of the line as far as debating is concerned between the man who is president and the man who wants to be president as we zero in on November 3rd. And with record-breaking numbers who are voting early, it's now up to 59 million people who have voted early. Did the debate resonate and change anybody's mind as to who they were voting for? 90 minutes of it. I do have to give a shout-out right at the top. Again, Kate Delaney, thanks for doing this dance with us here on the air. Kristen Welker did a fabulous job, honestly. I don't care, Republican, Democrat, what stripes you wear. She did a good job, I think, held her own, was strong, and just was a very fine moderator for this final U.S. debate between these two men. After what had happened with Chris Wallace, then the cancellation of the second debate and the two clashing town halls, I mean, there certainly would have been pressure on somebody who's done this for a long time, meaning been in the news, television news game for a while. But no doubt there was a lot of preparation that went into that. I mean, even at one point, the president made some comment about you're doing a fine job, I think, halfway through it. So COVID, healthcare, they were huge. Immigration, part of the issue. Economic issues were big. Obviously, there was a lot of debate about climate change. That was one of the specific questions that was asked. And I think this was, you know, more like a debate because you heard, to me, it was meatier, I guess. And there were certainly clashes, but not the chaotic nonsense that we saw the first time around. I think the president was a little more restrained, certainly, than the first presidential debate, which was derailed almost immediately with interruptions, that kind of stuff. There was personal attacks, both of them with personal attacks. It's obvious they have no respect for each other, of course. You can see that. You saw that from the first debate. And overall, though, you did hear more conversation, I guess, as to what potentially could happen. So the president claimed the vaccine was potentially weeks away. We opened up with the Fauci comments, and you heard what he had to say, that, you know, listen, nobody knew what was happening at the beginning. I never said I didn't like Anthony Fauci. He talked about rounding the corner, and he said most experts, it was asked, even though most experts, including administration officials, have said a vaccine for COVID-19 is unlikely to be widely available until mid-2021. He said that wasn't true. That wasn't what, you know, what he had, what he was seeing. And of course, does he know for sure? He couldn't say for sure. There was clashes on healthcare, China policy, racism, protests, etc., Black Lives Matter. That's pretty much how this rolled for 90 minutes. And we'll get into some more of that as we power through this. But I wanted you to be able to hear more moments from the debate. Because heading into this, there was a lot of, I think, conversation about, and we had it on this show, about the Hunter Biden emails and about Hunter Biden and how much money did he get and was there anything that he did illegally and that kind of thing. So that did become part of this in the very beginning, but then ultimately that kind of petered out. I thought maybe it might have taken more of a bigger tone with the president, but eventually it didn't. It kind of, again, petered out. And here's a little clip about that, about Hunter's work and Biden claiming there was nothing unethical about it.
And Vice President Biden, there have been questions about the work your son has done in China and for a Ukrainian energy company when you were vice president. In retrospect, was anything about those relationships inappropriate or unethical?
Nothing was unethical. Here's what the deal. With regard to Ukraine, we had this whole question about whether or not, because he was on the board, I later learned, of a Burisma, a company, that somehow I had done something wrong. Yet every single solitary person, when he was going through his impeachment, testifying under oath who worked for him, said, I did my job impeccably. I carried out U.S. policy. Not one single solitary thing was out of line. Not a single thing. Number one. Number two, the guy who got in trouble in Ukraine was this guy trying to bribe the Ukrainian government to say something negative about me, which they would not do and did not do because it never, ever, ever happened. My son has not made money in terms of this thing about, what are you talking about, China. I have not had it. The only guy made money from China is this guy. He's the only one. Nobody else has made money from China.
All right, so there you go. That was a lot of that. That was wrapped into the middle of it, and you heard some of the attacks there. And this is kind of how it petered out at the end. And most of, as I said, the Hunter Biden stuff fizzled, and then there was kind of a move to a few other things. And occasionally it would come back. But most of the clashes, fracking was one of them, repeatedly the China policy, and it was there. You could hear it at the tail end of what Biden had to say. Fracking was the thing that the president wanted Biden to answer, and he said he did not say that he was against fracking. And then he kind of said under his breath that on federal land that he would say it, and Trump said he would put it on his website, what he had said, that there he's actually on tape saying that. And then health care. The Biden criticizing the president's effort to persuade the Supreme Court to invalidate the Affordable Care Act, and Biden saying people deserve to have affordable health care, saying that law prevented insurance companies from denying coverage to people with pre-existing conditions. And Trump said he wanted to replace the ACA with something much better that would offer the same protections, even though the administration has yet to come up with one. But he said you had 40 plus years. So he kept coming back to you're a politician. And he and Biden kept saying, but you haven't done X, Y, Z. More on the final debate as we kick it along here in this first hour. Hang with us.
When you have a pain in the neck, a real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs, you now have two convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay Heating Wraps and Pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes, see Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our made in the USA, microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed better.
better for perfect support where and when you need it. Even while driving, Sunny Bay wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part? Sunny Bay quality products started under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay.
At 58 years of age, I noticed a dramatic energy decline. After a five-day work week, I had to use one of my days off to rest and recover. I also had cut my gym visits down from three times a week to once a week. Since I began using Green Meadow Whey, my energy level has greatly improved. I no longer have to take a day to recover. I have increased my gym visits back to three times a week. I'm actually more active and feeling better now than I have in the last 5 years. It's so nice to wake up in the morning feeling good and ready to go. Before trying Green Meadow Whey, I must have tried every whey protein product on the market, and every one of them caused me bloating, gas, and constipation. I've had no such issues with Green Meadow Whey. In fact, I'm sleeping better, my vision has improved, and surprisingly, my emotional and mental state has also improved. I love what Green Meadow Whey has done for me.
Green Meadow Whey comes from milk derived from grass-pastured cows. To order, call 888-988-3325 or visit greenmeadowwhey.com.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, "It's never too late to be who you might have been." Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
Let's move on to American families and the economy. One of the issues that's most important to them is health care, as you both know. Today there was a key vote on a new Supreme Court Justice, Amy Coney Barrett, and health care is at the center of her confirmation fight. Over 20 million Americans get their health insurance through the Affordable Care Act. It's headed to the Supreme Court, and your administration, Mr. President, is advocating for the court to overturn it. If the Supreme Court does overturn that law, those 20 million Americans could lose their health insurance almost overnight. So what would you do if those people have their health insurance taken away? You have 2 minutes uninterrupted.
Sure. First of all, I've already done something that nobody thought was possible. Through the legislature, I terminated the individual mandate. That is the worst part of Obamacare, as we call it. The individual mandate where you have to pay a fortune for the privilege of not having to pay for bad health insurance. I terminated. It's gone. Now it's in court because Obamacare is no good. But then I made a decision. Run it as well as you can to my people, great people. Run it as well as you can. I could have gone the other route and made everybody very unhappy. They ran it. Premiums are down. Everything's down. Here's the problem. No matter how well you run it, it's no good. What we'd like to do is terminate it. We have the individual mandate done. I don't know that it's going to work. If we don't win, we will have to run it, and we'll have Obamacare, but it'll be better run. But it no longer is Obamacare, because without the individual mandate, it's much different. Pre-existing conditions will always stay. What I would like to do is a much better health care, much better, will always protect people with pre-existing. So I'd like to terminate Obamacare, come up with a brand new, beautiful health care. The Democrats will do it because there'll be tremendous pressure on them, and we might even have the House by that time, and I think we're going to win the House, okay? You'll see, but I think we're going to win the House. But come up with a better health care, always protecting people with pre-existing conditions. And one thing very important, we have 180 million people out there that have great private health care, far more than we're talking about with Obamacare. Joe Biden is going to terminate all of those policies. These are people that love their health care, people that have been successful, middle-income people, been successful. They have 180 million plans, 180 million people, families. Under what he wants to do, which will basically be socialized medicine, he won't even have a choice. They want to terminate 180 million plans. We have done an incredible job on health care, and we're going to do even better.
Okay. Vice President Biden, yes, this is for you. Your health care plan calls for building on Obamacare. So my question is, what is your plan if the law is ruled unconstitutional by the Supreme Court? You have 2 minutes uninterrupted.
What I'm going to do is pass Obamacare with a public option. Become Biden care. The public option is an option that says that if you, in fact, do not have the wherewithal to be, if you qualify for Medicaid and you do not have the wherewithal in your state to get Medicaid, you automatically are enrolled, providing competition for insurance companies. That's what's going to happen. Secondly, we're going to make sure we reduce the premiums and reduce drug prices by making sure that there's competition that doesn't exist now by allowing the Medicare to negotiate drug prices with the insurance companies. Thirdly, the idea that I want to eliminate private insurance, the reason why I had such a fight for with 20 candidates for the nomination was I support private insurance. That's why I didn't, not one single person with private insurance would lose their insurance under my plan, nor did they under Obamacare. They did not lose their insurance unless they chose they wanted to go to something else. Lastly, we're going to make sure we're in a situation that we actually protect pre-existing. There's no way he can protect pre-existing conditions. None. Zero. You can't do it in the ether. He's been talking about this for a long time. There is no, he's never come up with a plan. I guess we're going to get the pre-existing condition plan the same time we get the infrastructure plan that we've been waiting since 17, 18, 19, and 20. The fact, I still have a few more minutes. I know you're getting anxious. The fact is that he's already cost the American people because of his terrible handling of the COVID virus and the economic spillover. 10 million people have lost their private insurance. And he wants to take away 22 million more people who have it under Obamacare, and over 110 million people with pre-existing conditions, and all the people from COVID are going to have pre-existing conditions. What are they going to do?
I have a follow-up for you, Vice President sure. Biden. It relates to something that President Trump said. He's accusing you of wanting socialized medicine. What do you say to people who have concerns that your health care plan, which includes a government insurance option, takes the country one step closer to a health care system run entirely by the government? What's
I say it's ridiculous. It's like saying that, you know, we're the idea that the fact that there's a public option that people can choose, that makes it a socialist plan. Look, the difference between the president, I think health care is not a privilege, it's a right. Everyone should have the right to have affordable health care. And I am very proud of my plan. It's gotten endorsed by all the major labor unions as well as a whole range of other people who, in fact, are concerned in the medical field. This is something that's going to save people's lives, and this is going to give some people an opportunity to have health care for their children. How many of you home are worried and rolling around in bed tonight wondering what in God's name you're going to do if you get sick? Because you've lost your home insurance, your health insurance, your company's gone under. We have to provide health insurance for people at an affordable rate, and that's what I do.
All right, so that was a big chunk of what was talked about. I wanted everybody to hear that. Thanks to NBC for that. And I mentioned that I thought Kristen Welker did a great job moderating the debate. But who won the debate? And I threw this out a couple of days ago to hit me up at kate@katedelaneyradio.com. And you can also jump on the phone lines, by the way, if you want to. Here's the thing that the president was smart about doing, and the number anyway is 855-266-5283, 855-266-5283. What the president was effective there in that little exchange was the messaging against Medicare for All and the threat that it would pose to, as you heard, the 180 million private health plans. And he was also pretty on the mark of what he believes and what the administration believes of reminding the audience that Joe Biden is making promises on health care now that they didn't deliver, he didn't deliver on while in office. That was something that was repeated a lot, that he said, well, you had, as VP, you were VP, you had 8 years, you didn't get it done. And he talked about that when he was pressed. So clearly in that exchange of that one particular area, he's saying it's socialized medicine. And then you heard Joe Biden come back and say, absolutely not. That's absolutely ridiculous. The other thing that was interesting is, to me, so much of it is the economy, because it's still, how are you paying your bills? How are you paying your insurance, your health insurance right now? I mean, whatever happens in the future, that's months from now. It's what's happening now to people who are unemployed, re-racked jobs, hustling a couple of side jobs where they don't have health insurance and they have kids and they're trying to just kind of, you know, keep it together, the middle class. And one of the things that the president talked about is he laid out his successes. So he did do that, and he reminded voters that he wants to get the economy back on track, and that's an area where voters feel that he's strong, because in the polls, whether Biden's leading here or there, when the specifics are asked, that's the one area where he usually does better. So it's interesting, because then you had some of the strengths of Biden looking at the weaknesses of the president that we mentioned at the top, of course, COVID and the response to COVID. That also is so personal as to what has happened to people. Again, going back to the economy, if they've lost their jobs, if they've had a family member or they themselves have gotten COVID-19, and what does that mean for them? And the whole lockdown thing that is related to COVID, the whole handling of COVID is what is so big. And Biden was forced to defend Democrats, Pelosi, over COVID-19 relief inaction. So meaning when the president was pressed about the latest stimulus, that's what he said. He talked about that, I'm not blocking it. And then there were some other moments that were interesting throughout this. I think the whole thing about oil was interesting because that comes along with climate change and having clean air, clean water, et cetera. And that's what the president kept saying. He talked about that sharply different from what Biden was talking about. Biden was vowing to transition from oil, and one of the things that the president got in there was, will you remember that, Texas? And then he said Oklahoma, and he threw in a couple of other places, because saying that people were employed by the oil industry. And you had plenty to say, by the way. The mailbag, as always, was full, 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 and most of it came in late because you were watching the debate. It'll be interesting to see what the numbers are there. We continue to roll through. I'm headed to the mailroom right now.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News.
As the final debate of the presidential election nears, one key battleground state has President Trump trailing. Chris Steigerwald appeared on Fox News and explained the latest on Pennsylvania.
On one hand, it looks like 2016 because the margin that Trump is trailing in Pennsylvania is about the same as it was 4 years ago. And that is the difficulty that Trump has is he can close, but he just doesn't have as many persuadable voters to deal with because people are so set in their ways.
Steigerwald added that there was a whopping 15% of undecided voters in 2016 compared to under 5% in 2020. At least 56 people have died across Nigeria since the End SARS protest started earlier this month. 38 people were killed across the country on Tuesday alone. This is the governor of Lagos on CNN pleading to the people that the violence must stop.
I feel the pain. That as your governor, I will do everything to ensure that every life in these two matters.
This is USA Radio News. Wednesday saw the highest number of recorded deaths related to COVID-19. Over 1,100 people lost their lives. The number of cases as well as hospitalizations are also on the rise. Hawaii is the only state that has trended in the right direction, while no less than 31 states are reporting increased cases. Doctors are warning that the worst surge is yet to come. This is Dr. Anthony Fauci and Dr. Scott Gottlieb.
This looks like we're going to have a very difficult fall.
We're about a week away from starting to enter a period where we're going to see a rapid acceleration in cases.
A study shows that roughly 2,300 people could die every day if the surge comes at the rate that is expected. As the winter comes, more people will be inside, which could cause the number to escalate even more. However, Dr. Scott Atlas tells CNN that the younger demos should feel free to subscribe to the herd immunity philosophy.
We should be fine with letting them get infected, generating immunity on their own.
This is USA Radio News.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American-made with American ingredients, employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.
Now let's talk about the mail. Can we talk about the mail, please, Mac? I'm dying to talk about the mail with you all day, okay?
Let's get in the mail bag. Get in the mail bag.
Yeah, we're in the mailbag. We're in the mailroom. And it's just think of the virtual mail. It's flying around. So the first one we go to is from Pat. And Pat says, yo, Kate Delaney, I wasn't going to watch the debate, but then I heard you talking about it, and I decided, you know what, I'm going to tune in. I'm going to flip back and forth to the ballgame. And I was thinking about you being from Philly and loving the Eagles, and I guess the Cowboys, too. Somehow you split that division for your fondness for Texas as well. But well, you must have been kind of flipping around, I'm wondering. And I'm wondering if you, one, caught the tail end of that game between the Eagles and the Giants. And also, when I looked at the debate, I want to say I think it was kind of a fair deal. It wasn't what I thought. I thought it was going to get this Jerry Springer train wrecky kind of thing, and it wasn't anything like that at all. There wasn't that chaos from the first one that I had to just tune out. And I did see the jabs, but there was going to be jabs and division and whatnot. But I thought it was actually better for Trump, and I thought Biden was fine. He put his foot in his mouth a couple of times. But for Trump, where he would have, I don't think, helped himself if it had been like the first debate, it was nothing. It was nothing like this last one. And I think he did a good job of getting a few slights in there, especially when it came to oil, realizing if the whole oil business blows up, that lots of jobs would be lost, and then making the point about wind is not what you think, and unqualified people are talking about that. So while he might have lost on a few things, I think he won on a few things, and probably for Biden, it may be his best, too. So I call it like a draw. Yeah, I mean, you know, your analysis is pretty good there. There was the moment where, and I said this already about the president saying, will you remember that, Texas, because of what would happen? And then there was the Joe Biden stumble moment that he called the Proud Boys the Poor Boys, because it's the Proud Boys. And then there was the president saying, I'm the least racist person in this room, and, you know, because race came up. And he talked about Black Lives, he was asked about Black Lives Matter, and he talked about what he first saw and why he reacted the way he did when he first saw that. And Joe Biden talked about including everybody, and talked about that, you know, he purposely worked in an African-American predominantly neighborhood out of that, in Wilmington, Delaware. So there were certainly, I don't know, there were certainly some interesting moments, let's put it that way. All right, this one is from Jake, and Jake says, Kate, you know me, a lifelong Republican, not always crazy about Trump. He's really done some wickedly poor things. The whole feast that he always has on Twitter, I don't get. He should just be off Twitter. But I will say that I think he did the Hunter Biden thing justice, because he could have gone off on that more, and where he normally would needle someone like Joe Biden with that, he only needled him a little bit in the beginning. And I think that he purposely held back as far as that's concerned on the emails and the money that Hunter made. He did say it, but he then left it alone, and I think that was a very smart thing. So I think he was more restrained, and on that front, I would give him an A plus, A plus, A plus. He got attacked on COVID, but I think he defended it the best that he could there, and of course, that's where Biden is going to try to really make some points, and I think he tried to make a lot of points as far as that was concerned. But either way, it was a much more interesting debate. It was an actual debate, and I didn't think it was going to be one. Yeah, once again, saying the same thing. It was more of a debate. I mean, look, Trump wanted to talk about Hunter Biden, and then it's all about these allegations about his business dealings and the information on the laptop, the emails, and what does that mean, and where did the information come from. But I think what was smart is that he didn't overly stick to that. He didn't overly clobber him with that. Although he invited Hunter Biden's former business colleague, Tony Bobulinski, who recently confirmed the veracity of some of the communications, those emails, to the debate. I mean, remember, Trump invited Bill Clinton's accusers, the women, the rough women, to the 2016, one of the 2016 debates with Hillary Clinton. So there was no question that there was some stagecraft or theater, or whatever you want to call it. But, you know, he said by now, what came out today, it's even worse. All the emails, the horrible emails of the kind of money you were raking in, you and your family. I think you owe an explanation to the American people. Why is it somebody just had a news conference a little while ago who was essentially supposed to work with you and your family, but what he said was damning. And Biden just said, I haven't taken a penny from any foreign service ever in my life. And then just kind of turned around on some of it. So it was interesting. There were dicey moments in it, and there was definitely the whole thing on fracking, like I've been saying. If you hadn't tuned into the debate, it really was like a debate, though, and that's the key thing. I'm going to do one more on that, and this one comes to us from Laurel, who says, Kate, I think the debate doesn't change anyone's mind. Joe Biden fumbled a little bit. Trump got a little bit nasty, but it was nothing like the first debate. It was nothing like the town halls. And I think that people got to hear a little bit more. So if, and I can't imagine, but if somebody was on the fence about either one, perhaps they got a better glimpse into what the two are thinking. And though I'm not sure anybody's mind is completely reversed by what they saw, certainly they got a little bit more of the thoughts of both of these candidates. I mean, really, the president isn't the candidate. He's the defender, and Biden's more on the offense, or should have been anyway. So it's an interesting final debate. What did you think some of the biggest slams were? There were a lot of them. I'm thinking of the Trump one that just jumps into my head. Some of the Trump ones, he said, he came back with when he was asked about the Black Lives Matters and what he said. He said, we were hearing the anti-police chant, pigs in a blanket, you know, turn it into bacon, pigs in a blanket. He said that. And then at one point, Trump said that Biden, I ran because of you. He said, you know, that's why I ran. And he, so he talked about it that way. And coronavirus is where Joe Biden really tried to traverse and take advantage smartly of what's happening over the coronavirus, because there was no specifics that were offered. He is the president, and and Biden is the one who wants to be president. So he talked about the spikes. He talked about people dying. He talked about all of that, and that was part of his closing argument, really. He responded to the president's learning to live with it by saying people are learning to die with it. And clearly he was focusing on that, saying 220,000 Americans dead. If you hear nothing, and he said this, if you hear nothing else I say tonight, hear this. Anyone who is responsible for not taking control, in fact, saying I take no responsibility initially, anyone that is responsible for that many deaths should not remain as president of the United States of America. So, and he referenced the comments to the Washington Post's Bob Woodward in the book he had coming out, in which Trump offered a more dire account than was publicly given at that point. And Biden said he didn't want to tell us. He didn't want to tell us because he didn't want us to panic. He didn't want us to know. Americans don't panic. He panicked. And like I said, so that was what he stood on, really, the coronavirus thing. And for the president, he stood on the economy, I think, more than anything else, because Biden on the energy thing was a little more dicey on the fracking deal, and when he was pressed on that and a couple of other things, industry transitions and complete zero emissions by 2025, that that to me was where they really pressed him on. They pressed him on the oil industry. So Trump said, you know, would you close down the oil industry? And he said, I would transition from the oil industry. Yes, because the oil industry pollutes significantly. So there you go. I mean, that is a definite stand that he pressed him into that corner. All right, a whole bunch of you just said, sounds it off, did he win or not? I had 10 people that weighed in and thought that the president looked the best that he's ever looked in a debate. And then there were 7 of you that thought Biden shows why he is leading in the polls. So thanks for just simply weighing in there. That was 17 people on that, which I just flopped that out there the other night for fun for an unofficial poll. All right, we're tying this thing up in our next segment. Can you believe it? We're at the end of the road for this first hour. Stay through.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, "It's never too late to be who you might have been." Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamel Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Attention business owners body slammed by overwhelming debt. If your business is in trouble, hassled by creditors, if you're frustrated, finally fed up with big business bailouts while your business has been left for dead, please listen close. There's a brand new fast-track bankruptcy. Some have even called it the biggest small business bailout in American history. Designed for individuals and their businesses. And look, almost no one knows about this yet. My attorney wasn't even aware of it. The truth is, beating the system has never been easy because it's rigged, in a sense, against the little guy. But here's the jaw-dropping news nobody's talking about. They've literally just changed the system so that you can beat it. But only if you understand how the new game has to be played. Find out if you qualify at pocketsoflight.com. This government-backed small business repair program is still legal, but may not be renewed after the election. Fight back fairly, fight back ethically at pocketsoflight.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S. patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
To close this all down and take that final couple of turns around this hour, this is the mic drop moment. Imagine that you are just having dinner with some friends and you're in their apartment. You're looking around. They have some kind of cool artwork that they picked up for a song. You keep looking at it because you kind of know the history of this painter, and you realize, wow, this is a panel. This is a painting by a famous American artist, Jacob Lawrence. And it hasn't been seen in public for 60 years? And do you know that you have a Van Gogh? In a different way. It's not a Van Gogh, but it's Jacob Lawrence. It was an incredible artist. And they have an exhibit at the... They had an exhibit at the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York City, and it's called Struggle from the History of the American People. And it was completed in the mid-50s by Jacob Lawrence, who's a black painter. So this museum in Salem organized this showing. And the Metropolitan Museum, for those of you who are like, meh, museums, I haul through them, it is a really cool place, trust me. But it's like one of our biggest museums. It's like a jewel of Americana, I'll call it. And so it's like something to be proud of, like a piece of history. And so these people just noticed it. One of the visitor to the Met, and that's what happened, had neighbors, had friends where they had dinner. They were friends. And they know that they had this painting. This guy knew this and suspected it was part of the series. So he told his neighbors to contact the New York Museum, and sure enough, it was. And they got it for a very, very, very modest amount. It's a mic drop moment. There's no question about it. So they loaned it to the exhibit. And this painting, I guess, had been purchased originally at a 1960 Christmas charity auction to benefit a music school for what is, again, a very small sum. So this panel is called the 16 panels. It's called The Combustibles in Every State, where a spark might set fire to Washington, 26 December 1786, and it shows Shay's Rebellion, and it also has the 1786-87 tax revolt in western Massachusetts, and two armies with, I'm giving you my description of this panel, two armies with muskets and bayonets facing off and, all of that. So it was pretty dynamic, this whole series, and it's an incredible piece of art. I just love that. And then I'm starting to think to myself, I don't know, could I name any art hanging on people's walls that I know? I don't, maybe I don't know the right people. You mean you got that in 1960? It was handed down as a family thing, and it was just a nice painting, and you had really no idea about it. I think that's a cool mic drop moment. Every picture tells a story, don't it? That's a famous line from a band's song that I really like. If you can figure this out, you win a copy of my book, the first person who does. Just send it to me, kate@katedelaneyradio.com. All right, a couple of things here for odds and ends. So we had the final debate. A lot of you think it's a draw. Some of you thought Trump won. Some of you thought Biden won. I think the thing here is American people who tuned into this win, because it wasn't the crazy wild circus that the first one was. There was some sniping, but there were candid moments, and there was more meat to be had, less interruptions, more substance, actual debate. An actual debate is what I would say that we got there. People listening to the show have written me about voting early. And bravo to Dean and Jackie and Frank and Marilyn and Chris, just a few of you. Big shout out to you, to all of you who have done that. And by the way, all those people weren't Democrats. Some were. So you've got, depending on who you believe, so it's 47 to 49 million who have already voted in this election. And I think that says something. The people are more invested than ever and are concerned about family, economy, the virus, this pandemic that we're in the middle of. And you're exercising your right to vote, which to me is what you should do. You should do it locally, and you absolutely should do it when federally. Whoever is representing you, if more people got out there and voted, that's what would swing votes. That's when you get what you really want to get, when you're out there and you're actually participating. You're actually in the middle of it, right? All right, this would get lost, but I have to bring it up because I think she is a python. I think she is a despicable human being. I mean, have you ever heard me use those words? I think rarely. How about Ghislaine Maxwell? Now, if you don't know who she is, she was the gal pal of the late sex offender Jeffrey Epstein. And there was a court document with detailed information about her relationship with the sex offender that was unsealed on Thursday morning in New York before a court-imposed deadline. And, you know, a lot of people were waiting for this to be unsealed to see what would come out of that. And she keeps downplaying her, that she didn't know the things that were going on, and she never saw some of the things that are being suggested and you know, whatnot. And she, in the deposition, she denied inviting under 18-year-olds to Epstein's homes, except she said the children are friends in a social setting, and kind of fudged on whether she brought Virginia Guffrey as a 17-year-old to his house, as she was one of the people allegedly abused by Epstein, who was pressing to have something happen and charges, and she was part of the takedown of Epstein. So, you know, throughout this whole thing, she said she was a masseuse, and in the form of her job, I was to have people who he wanted for various things, including massages. So saying that Jeffrey was, Guffrey rather, her name is, came to the house as a masseuse. But what you need to know is this woman is a bad, bad woman. They had a sex trafficking ring. Let's just call it what it was. Jeffrey Epstein, was he murdered? Did he really kill himself in prison? Because there were so many connections to possibly other famous people. We already know that Prince Andrew is one of them, although they're denying everything. This is a nasty, despicable piece of business. And the Manhattan U.S. Attorney's Office should do everything they can to nail her. And they should, right? And they used her deposition, which Maxwell's attorney said, well, we believed it was confidential, in their perjury accusation against her in the criminal case, claiming she lied under oath. She denied in her 2016 deposition that she and Bill Clinton interacted with Epstein, and that they were together on a Caribbean island and all that sort of thing. There was lots of denials and whatnot. And remember, she was at her honeycomb hideout in New Hampshire when that's my snarky name for it, when they came upon her to arrest her. And if there is justice, she should go down very, very hard. Very, very hard. Because it was so wrong what she did to too many young women and what she put them through, because Jeffrey Epstein knew a lot of powerful people and had a lot of money. Thanks to all of you for listening to this version of the show. Remember, you can always get me 24/7, Kate at katedelaneyradio.com. Make it count, everybody.
SuperTea.com. Pouty Arco Tea helps regenerate new cells. Everything from the cells in our skin to the cells in our organs, so they function properly. Great for healthy people and can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a disease. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of my book Deal Your Own Destiny on Amazon.com.